Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all you do and all you are. Lord, fill this place with your presence this morning. Fill our hearts, Lord, with your love and with you. We need you, Lord. Open up heaven for us this morning. Open your word for us this morning, Lord, and may we receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Everybody seems so subdued this morning, but I do too. You did. I don't know who wrote this. I usually try to give credit. So, years ago, and I'm thinking this is probably like maybe 150 years ago, something like that, maybe longer. Years ago, the captain of a large vessel set sail with his family from Liverpool, England. His destination was New York. One night when everyone was asleep, a sudden squall arose. The wind came sweeping over the water, struck the vessel, and almost capsized it. Everything movable was sent tumbling and crashing, and the passengers became aware that they were in imminent peril. Everyone was alarmed, and many sprang from their berths and began to dress. The captain's little daughter, just 8 years old, was awakened and cried out with fright, "What's the matter?" When they told her about the storm, she asked, "Is father on deck?" Assured that he was, the little one dropped back onto her pillow without fear. In spite of the howling winds and crashing waves, she was soon fast asleep. Is our Father still on deck? We're going to be talking about faith today. What does God want from us? He wants faith. He wants all of us. But he wants us to trust him, doesn't he? Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I will answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Behold the proud, it says in some translations, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. How important is that verse? How important is that one line in Scripture? Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What does it mean when God repeats himself? It means pay attention. Galatians 3:11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:37 through 38. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. No pleasure in him because a lack of faith. In Mark 11:22, Jesus told his disciples to have faith in God. After all, he, our Father, is still on the deck, isn't he? God is still on the throne. He's still in charge. This is not supposed to be just an occasional event either, is it? It's supposed to be a lifetime pattern, a daily lifestyle. We're supposed to live it with everything we are and everything about us. In Habakkuk, he said the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. Now that word wait doesn't mean just sit there in your recliner and let whatever's going to happen, happen. It's a very active wait. The vision is yet for an appointed time. We know now what the vision is because we read it in Hebrews. Though he tarries, wait for him. The vision is yet for an appointed time, and he will come. In Luke 18:8, Jesus asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he? Will he find faith in you? Will he find faith in me? That's a question we have to keep asking ourselves. Faith is not a blind leap. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is a response to the promises of God. God says, I will lead you. Faith says, I will follow you. God says, I will feed you. Faith says, I will eat. God says, I will meet your needs. Faith says, amen. It is done. Faith isn't a blank check. I don't believe it, name it and claim it. We hear a lot about that. Whatever you ask, you'll have. No, it's whatever you ask in his name according to his will, you'll have. A good father doesn't give his children everything that he asked for, does he? What would happen if he did? I think we see a lot of examples of that in the world today, don't we? You know, we didn't have a lot when I was growing up. We didn't have all the toys and gadgets and everything that kids nowadays have. If I had a rock and a stick, you know, maybe a tin can, you know. It was a little bit more than that, but there really wasn't that much available, and my family didn't have the money for it anyway, but that's okay. And you get right down to it, why would I want something that God doesn't want me to have? When I lived in Oregon, I bought a 1966 Ford pickup. And I loved that truck, and I put a lot of work into it. Blew the engine, I put another engine in it. We went to pick up the engine at the auto wreckers. And my daughter was with me. She was only about 4 years old. And I said, we want you to pray that this is a good engine, because we didn't know. It was just, they just towed it in. And the person that was driving it had been killed. And so we didn't know what we were getting. We took it back to my friend's garage where he was doing most of the work. I was just handing him tools. But we took off the oil pan and we looked at the inside of the engine, and it was perfect. We just stood there and stared at it. Brand new. An engine out of an auto wrecker, brand new. And we put it in the truck. And I drove the truck, and I remember one day I backed it up into my driveway. I had a detached garage and a driveway, and I was looking up my window at it, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, Wayne, I want you to give away your truck. What do you say? I said, okay. I don't want to drive a truck that God doesn't want me to have. You know, that's. But besides that, maybe it meant too much to me. I think it probably did. Sometimes even a little thing like a truck can become a god, can become an idol. Not long after that, I want a Camaro at a car lot. I used Camaro. I traded it for a truck. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 today. I should have told you that so you could be there. And we're going to take a look at it, kind of a condensed view of the first part of it anyway. Quite a few verses, actually. But we're looking at faith because this, of course, as you know, as you probably know, this is a faith chapter. And it lists an awful lot of people. It's kind of the Old Testament condensed to a certain extent. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when I read that, I realize, at least in my translation, my Bible, it doesn't just tell me what faith is. It tells me when it is. Now faith is. Every day. Because we need faith every day. Now. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things not seen are God's promises. Those things He said you'll have. Those things He said He'll give you. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's about believing God. That's really a definition of faith, isn't it? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the title deed. If somebody were to give you something, say like a Lamborghini, I mention Lamborghinis a lot because I know they're kind of out of reach. I don't think I really want one anyway, but I wouldn't want to have to pay the insurance on it. But if someone were to give you one, you may not believe them, but when they hand you that title deed, then you realize it's true. What is our title deed to God's promises? It's faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God spoke it, and God said it, and that means it's going to be. The things hoped for. The world has a different definition of hope than the Bible does. Hope is not something you do, it's something you have. Romans 8:24 and 25 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hope. Hope is a part of faith. Faith is believing God, good, bad, past, present, and future. Hope is believing God for a future good. Titus chapter 1, it talks about the hope of eternal life that we have, that God promised before the world began, the God who cannot lie promised before the world began. We have not just hope, we have a hope, the hope of eternal life. This world's going to pass away, this world's going to fade away, but yet the promises of God remain, don't they? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't look at what we see. We look at what God says. We walk by faith. That means every step, doesn't it? That's our life journey. That's what it's supposed to be. It doesn't mean what's going on. It doesn't mean who won the election or who didn't win the election or if the election has been settled or hasn't. We trust God. Because after all, He raises up our leaders. because he has a bigger purpose than we can realize and we can understand. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. That's the shortest verse in this chapter. But it actually shows faith and works working together. Now, did that get your attention? It should, because you're probably thinking, what's he talking about? Wait a minute. Paul says we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. But yet James says faith without works is dead. Are those two in disagreement? I believe that Paul's talking about before God. Our justification before God, where James is talking about our justification before man. Because James says, you show me your faith, or your faith by your works, and I'll believe that you have faith. So the two do go hand in hand, don't they? See, faith is the cause of works. Works are the result of faith. Faith is contrary to the law, but we need to remember that faith is believing God. And isn't believing God obeying God? So the two do work hand in hand. No, I do not believe we're saved by works. But if we don't have the works in our life that show our faith, that we need to reevaluate just where we are, don't we? We should have all kinds of alarms going off. Verse 3, through faith we understand. You ever have anybody tell you they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it? You want to understand the Bible? Read it with faith. Those four words right there at the beginning, I'm going to read the rest of it. But that tells us how we should approach the Bible when we read it. Read it with faith. God is not going to show you or reveal to you everything in the Bible all at once. But believe that he's going to show you something when you read it. And he will. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, you could almost argue that there's a scientific application to that. Because you look at anything you look at, it's made out of things you can't see, isn't it? But it also means that God didn't use building materials to build the universe. He didn't drive his pickup to Home Depot and load it up with things to take home to build a universe. What did he do? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke it into existence. Psalm 33:9, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, God can speak a universe into existence. He can certainly take care of our problems, can't he? We got a big God. Now, I find it interesting that right at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, there's a test. God says, here it is. Believe it or not. He doesn't set it up with anything, you know, that talks about who God is or where he came from or how he did it. It just says he created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. Those are four very important words in the Bible. If you can get past those four words, there's hope for you. Because he starts right at the... That's the way God works, isn't it? He sends tests constantly. What he's saying is, believe me. Trust me. no matter what's going on, no matter how it looks. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered a blood sacrifice. Now, Cain probably, I don't know, I would think being a farmer, he would maybe, I don't know, maybe he worked harder. Maybe he put more into it and he brought that to God. But we're not supposed to bring our works to God, are we? What did Abel bring? He brought blood, a sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Obviously, he pleased God with his faith. It's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He must believe that he is. He is what? He's everything he needs to be. He's everything we need him to be. Back in Genesis chapter 3:14, Moses said, who do I say sent me? What's your name? God said, I am. I am? I am what? God says, I am everything I need to be and everything you need to be. You need me to be. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently means that we don't just do it part-time, do we? By faith, Noah built an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a country that he didn't even know where he was going. God said, I'll show you when you get there. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Sojourn is a temporary dwelling. Isn't that kind of what we're doing here now? That's what we're supposed to be doing. This isn't our home. By faith, Sarah conceived and bore a child. You know, I often wondered, reading this, whose faith was it? Was it Abraham's faith? Abraham believed that he was going to have the child. Sarah laughed. But it goes on to say that, I have to find it. Oh, okay. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. So it was Sarah's faith, wasn't it? By faith, Abraham offered up his son as a sacrifice. Because he knew that God was able to bring him back from the dead. That's what it says right there in Hebrews. He knew that there was a promise attached to that child. And he knew that it would be, that promise would be fulfilled. He didn't know how God was going to do it. But he believed God, didn't he? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, he thought he was blessing Esau. He thought he was blessing Esau, but he was blessing Jacob. Because Jacob was disguised as his brother. And Isaac was too blind to realize who it was. But then when he found out, when Esau comes crying and he says, don't you have a blessing for me? He says, I gave the blessing to Jacob, and he will be blessed. Even though it wasn't his intention, he realized that it was God's intention. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. He's still a pilgrim. The staff is a symbol of being a pilgrim. He's still not of this world. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He knew they were going back, and he said, take my bones back to the land of Israel and bury me there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, they had to have heard from God because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Of course, that only lasted 3 months, didn't it? I read in this one commentary that someone was saying, well, that their faith didn't last. It only lasted 3 months. But yet, think about it. What did they do with Moses? They put him in the river in a little basket, in an ark. What was going on in the river? Babies were being drowned. That's the last place I would have taken my baby. I'd have gone in the other direction, wouldn't you? But I believe God told them what to do. Because by faith, they hid Moses. By faith, I believe by faith, they put him in that river. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. From what I've read, her name was Thermutis, and she was the only child of Pharaoh. Moses, being an adopted child, would have been Pharaoh. But because he refused it and he fled the country, the throne went sideways to a cousin or an uncle, a more distant relative. But he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, it says in one translation. Here it says, pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is fun for a little while. Until the devil gets a hold of you, then it's not fun anymore. It doesn't have to be. The passing pleasures of sin. He chose the people of God instead. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. This world doesn't have anything to offer us, does it? For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. But God does have a lot to offer, doesn't he? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. The children of Israel, by faith, passed over. The Egyptians, they probably saw the children of Israel going through the waters, and they figured they could too. That's presumption. There's a difference between faith and presumption. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. What knocked those walls down? It wasn't the noise of the trumpet. It wasn't the people yelling. It was faith. And those walls fell down flat. They didn't fall down sideways. They came straight down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. The harlot. She's mentioned in Scripture 4 times. 3 times she's referred to as the harlot Rahab. The other time, she's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And they don't say anything about her being a harlot. By faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She said to the spies, we have heard about your God. We know that he is God, and that he's going to conquer the city. She heard. She believed. She had faith. I could go on, I won't. But one thing about faith, as I said, wait is a very active word. One thing you'll notice about every one of these, they all did something with their faith, didn't they? They believed. They obeyed. They went to another country. They received the spies. Faith is very active. When God tells us to do something, we do it. That's faith. Right now, there's an awful lot of uncertainty in this country. We don't know if we have a president-elect or if we don't or what's going to happen. Because we hear an awful lot. And I'm not going to try to evaluate what's going on because I'm as clueless as anybody else. But I do know that we have a God that's still on the throne. And if he wants Donald Trump to be president, Donald Trump will be president. If he wants Joe Biden or the other one to be president, they will be. But it's about what he wants, isn't it? Because this world is not my home. And as things start to deteriorate, which they are doing very rapidly, you may have noticed that, we're getting close to the end. When I was in the Air Force, we had an expression. They had it in the other branches, too. It was called getting short. Anybody ever heard that? We're getting short. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control. That you raise up leaders and you take down leaders, Lord, as you see fit. And that your purpose is more important than anything else, Lord. Fulfill your purpose. Lord, I pray for your blessing on your people. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen us. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us to keep our focus on you. Be with us today, Lord, as we go our way, and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.